Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and I'm your host, Deb Wolf, and we're going to talk a little bit of cats today for a couple of segments, and then we're going to move over into the dog world. But don't worry, dog lovers, you'll hear some dog content in this first part, too. Right away, I'm going to introduce you to one of my friends and one of my favorite regular guests, Dusty Rainbolt. Welcome to the show, Dusty.
Well, thank you for inviting me once again, and happy Christmas, happy upcoming Hanukkah.
There you
go. Happy holidays.
Yeah. Well, you know, recently, maybe a month ago, you and I talked about, we answered an email from somebody who had an elderly cat. It was really bad. The cat was, you know, urinating, defecating, making huge messes of the comforting and the duvet and the house, and particularly the lady's bed, though. And so you told her that the cat might be a little bit senile, maybe a little bit confused, maybe a little bit blind now, and to get the lid off the litter box and to make more light in the area where the litter box is, and to exclude the cat from her bedroom for 3 weeks. And a couple weeks ago, she emailed back. You weren't here, but she said it worked. She did. She had to do it for 6 weeks, and now her bedroom is open, and the cat is out of the back using the litter box like there never was a problem.
So that's wonderful.
Really happy.
Aw, nothing makes me happier than for the love affair to continue between a kitty and its person. So, yay.
Well, and the darker side would be the cat gets dumped at a shelter or something because it's peeing all over the house, and the lady
exactly.
can't stop it. And sometimes people will turn it on themselves. They'll say, well, I guess she's not happy with me anymore. She'd be better off at the shelter. But that's not the case, right?
No, it's not. And they often think that it's because the cat's mad at them. And that's not it at all. I mean, there's usually a problem. I mean, whether the problem is they don't like the litter box hasn't been cleaned since, you know, the Reagan administration, especially with an elderly cat. Sometimes it's painful to actually climb in. They may have arthritis, so you need a box with a lower side. Sometimes it's that the dog is stalking the cat while it's in the litter box, or the kids are teasing it, or even you waiting until the cat goes to the box to grab it so you can give it a pill. So there are a lot of reasons. I mean,
the eyesight surprised me, because I think of cats as pretty much able to see where I can't, able to see in almost absolute darkness. So why the heck could she not see her litter box? Like, that just seems odd to me. But you're saying even cats lose their depth perception or their sight or their confidence in their sight, maybe?
Well, not even that. I mean, this happened to a young cat. This is how I learned about it. A behaviorist I know had a client, and the cat had to go through the laundry room into the utility room so the cat had to go into this dark area. And cats can see in low light, but they can't see in no light. And let's face it, they are at the bottom of the food chain. Everything wants to eat them. And so if they can't see what's in there, then they're afraid to go because there may be a larger predator lurking around. So all the behaviorists had the lady do is put a nightlight. And suddenly even a dim nightlight was enough where the cat felt safe enough to go in. It's amazing, isn't it?
I recently had a call, and it was someone who'd won something, and they'd won some free advice for their dog, you know, coupon or whatever.
Oh, dear.
So I'm going to go and train their dog. And the lady admits to me that she'd actually prefer, if I didn't mind, to help her with her cat. Okay, sure, whatever. You won a free prize. I'll come train whatever you've got. You're not your husband, your dog, your cat, that's fine. So she starts to describe the problem, and it's one of these litter box problems, right? And she's saying, well, what kind of flooring do you recommend, and what kind of litter box do you recommend, and what kind? And she's starting to ask me all these questions. And so right away I said, well, why don't I just come over and look at what you've got now? Oh, no, you can't. Why can't I? Oh, because we don't change it enough. It's terrible. It's disgusting. It's,
and
I'm like, you're answering your own problem, lady. Don't worry about the flooring or the type of litter box or any of these other things until you've at least, you know, changed it a couple times a day. Because who wants to go walk and stand and play around and, you know, barefooted in a sandbox full of excrement? Nobody, no clean cat wants to do that. So she knew that. I said, you know what? If it's only one cat, right? And there's two adults in the house and a nanny, so three adults potentially. So I said, if you can't get everybody to change it once a day, then get two boxes. It's only one cat, right? You know, how bad could this be? I have six cats, lady. I mean, I'm thinking to her, like, come on, it's only one cat. But I guess it can be a real problem for people, huh, Dusty?
I don't understand it. It takes 30 seconds to scoop a box. It's not like the old days where every 3 or 4 days you had to change the box and wash it. And another thing that does happen, though, is we assume because we scoop it, it's clean. Every time you scoop, you should take a teeny little sniff and see how the litter smells. If you're smelling ammonia, then that kitty whose nose is like 2 inches away, and their nose is so much more sensitive, they're going to smell much worse than you do.
Well, and yeah, depending, I mean, if you use the clumping kind, there's going to be these big, thick clumps of the urine on the bottom. So you have to scrape the bottom. If you use the other kind, well, it is going to divide up. So you do have to change it every once in a while. But if you want your house to be clean, rather than spending all this money on gadgets and devices, you've just got to do it. So we have to go to break. We're going to be back. We're going to talk about holidays and kitties and tinsel in the tummy, because that's what we don't want this time of year. So stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. We're talking with Dusty Rainbolt and me, Deb Wolf. Stay tuned. And I just can't wait to say this. Ciao, meow. That's for you, Dusty. Okay, stay tuned, everybody, to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
And anytime you're near.
Treat your furry best friend with a Clear Conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. At clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Hey, pet lovers, listen up. Purr Spray Pet, all natural, non-toxic spray for all of your pet problems. Proven safe to use for their skin, eyes, and ears. Helps calm and heal wounds, hot spots, insect bites, and lots more. Will not sting, and very safe to use, even for your feathered friends. To find out how you can keep your pets happy and healthy, go to purrspraypet.com. That's purrspraypet.com. purrspraypet.com. Or call us now at 386-310-3924. Hello, You're listening to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And I'm just sitting here thinking of all those times, Dusty, when I've been at a concert or something like that, and I've had to use one of those porta-potties, and it's just horrible. It's almost like you go, one, two, three, and you try and you hold your breath your whole time you're in there. And if you have to change your clothes, like at a rock concert or a stadium, and you don't want your clothes to touch the floor as you're changing, so it's like this juggling act, that's what your cat goes through with a dirty litter box. It's horrible, right?
It really is. I mean, and another thing, especially when you have a covered litter box, it's even worse because, let's face it, the sides get filthy and it holds in the smell just exactly like those portable potties. And, I mean, when I go to the Renaissance Fair and I have to go in there, you know what kind of maneuvering we go through so we don't have to touch anything. So,
I try to find a spot in the woods if I can. I would prefer that. I do not, like, especially for changing. I do not want to change in one of those tiny little disgusting cubicles. That's just, it's like trying to change on a spaceship or something. It's terrible. But I have ways. I have the giant dress I slip over, then change everything underneath and take it off at the end. You know, like Wonder Woman. Boom. But you have to have your method because it's disgusting in there.
And your kitty has the same problem. I mean, if a cat should actually enjoy going to the bathroom, he should enjoy going in there and digging, and then he does his business, and then he covers it up and digs some more, and he should enjoy the activity. If he jumps out, or if he shakes his paws when he gets out, if you see him balancing on the side so he doesn't have to go in there,
that's
you
a
need
good
to
sign.
Look at, you need, and I've seen that before. You need to do something. Another thing is cats don't generally like scented litter, so they may not want to, the smell is going to follow them because it's on their paws. And remember, or if there's just too much poop and pee, they're going to get that on their feet, and then they're going to have to clean it off. And so they have 100 times our ability to smell. So, just remember they're inches from the litter, and they can smell so much more. So anything that we might find pleasant could be overpowering to them. And if we find something that has a little bit of yucky smell, then imagine how bad it is to them.
Well, I know they don't like citrus smells the way we do, because you use them to deter them from things. So
yes.
If you've got some product that says it's for cats and it smells like lemons or orange, that's not a good plan. Your cat's going to avoid that thing, whatever it is. So, Dusty, since we've got everyone listening and they're loving your cat advice, if they want to get some more cat advice before we switch over to some holiday topics, can you let everybody know just where they can reach you?
Absolutely. They can go to my website, which is dustycatwriter.com. And writer is like you write, W-R-I-T-E-R, one word, dustycatwriter.com. Please leave a message or a comment on my blog. And I also write the Ask Einstein column on Catster. So they can email me, or they can contact me, and I'll use their questions.
Did you just divulge a trade secret? Does that mean the cat is not writing them himself? Are we supposed to believe Einstein the cat writes these?
Oh no, I'm just his transcriptionist.
Okay. All right. Once we were on air and we were talking to somebody who had a cat that he was complaining that it just made the stinkiest litter mess. And it wasn't covering its own poop. And I remember you telling me that a mama cat teaches its kittens to do that. So in July 1st they were born. August 1st I ended up getting these cats that had to be bottle fed. They were just babies. And I thought, oh, Dusty says I can teach them how to cover their poo. So I did. And it wasn't hard at all. I took the shovel that I would normally clean the poop with, and just after they pooped while they were still messing around in there, I would just gently cover their poo. And then they started copying me. It was that easy. Amazing. So thank you for that.
Well, no problem. And what's even more amazing to me is the first time a kitten, because I have the bottle babies too, and when you put them in the box and they just go, oh, this is a litter box, and they dig and poop and cover, and it's like it's the first time they've ever been in a box. It's just amazing that they are so well programmed.
Yes, because I was worried about that. I thought, am I going to have to massage them to induce things? How developed are these little things that I've now been put in charge of? But it was a big relief to me to see that they knew how to use it right from the get-go. Thank gosh, because it still had to be really careful to warm the milk and have the right consistency and sort of stop and let them have a break and then feed them again. I mean, it was really like a newborn, and it was every few hours. It's not for most people, to be sure. Don't take on little kittens. They need to be with their mom, right?
Right. But, you know, there are situations. It happens a lot more with kittens than it does puppies, because dogs don't generally free roam. And, of course, kitties can go off and have babies. But if they don't have a mom, if you hear kittens crying for a prolonged period of time or they're dirty, then you need to do something. That's the time to step in.
Yeah. Well, in this case, it was someone else who stepped in, and they decided that the person who had the mum was just letting it have feral cat litter after litter after litter, and they decided they were going to domesticate at least some of them, get them out of the chain of reproduction and coyote food. But I don't know why they decided to come to me, but anyway, so Dusty, we've only got a couple of minutes left, and we didn't deal with holiday safety, so I guess I'm going to ask you to do it as quick, and I'll cover it in the rest of the show, but what can you give them on keeping your cats safe at Christmas and holiday time?
Okay, well, one thing that affects both Christmas and Hanukkah is candles. Do not leave candles out unattended if you have cats. Actually, I'm not a fan of candles at all. I was at a Christmas celebration with my uncle, and their cat accidentally straddled a votive candle, and his little fur started smoldering, and it was terrifying. He was okay, but I guarantee you it taught our family cats and candles don't mix. Another thing, Christmas lilies of any kind are deadly. It's not if it will kill your cat, they will kill your cat. Poinsettias are a little toxic. It'll cause gastric upset, but given a choice between poinsettias and lilies, poinsettias are much safer.
We only have a minute. You're going to have to go really, really fast. Less than a minute.
The other one is tinsel. Tinsel is bad. If you notice that your cat has swallowed tinsel or has tinsel coming out its butt, take it to the vet. Do not try to remove the tinsel. And also be aware of string and ribbon and anything of a string nature. Did I make it?
Oh, yeah. I'll try and get in some more safety tips during the rest of the show.
Excellent.
So that's been Dusty Rainbow. Thank you for joining me today, Dusty.
Well, thank you for having me. I look forward to speaking with you and your listeners again.
If you've got cat problems, cats who don't use the litter box, cats who destroy, scratch, maybe they're aloof, unfriendly, aggressive, any kind of cat problem at all with other cats, with dogs, anything, send us your question. We'll give you your answer. Right, Dusty?
Right. Well, happy holidays, everybody.
Have a safe holiday. You too, Dusty.
Okay,
everybody. We'll be talking dogs in a moment. Stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
Your itchy dog allergy sad? Did you know that our dogs suffer from the same pollen, dust mite, and mold allergies that we do? Now, veterinarian dermatologist Dr. Christian has formulated Doggy Goo. Doggy Goo is a peanut butter treat for your dog. But Doggy Goo also sublingually builds tolerance to 10 pollens, 2 mites, and 3 molds 100% naturally. Try Doggy Goo. Your dog will Doggy Goo. Look it up. Call 855-246-2426. The number again is 855-246-2426 or on the web www.healthygoo.com. Goo spelled G-O-O.
Scratch it.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk from All Paws Pet Talk Radio and me, Deb Wolf, your host. And, well, you can go to smartanimaltalk.com. Soon it'll be linked up to the relaunch of my new website, which is coming soon, at deborahwolfonline.com. And there you're going to find all kinds of great stuff and links to everything else I do. And none of it will cost you anything. It's just all going to be dogs and cats and cool. And Facebook Camp Good Dog is where you can go to see the beautiful dogs frolicking in the rain. There's a rough collie and a lab cross and a terrier that looks like it wants to go inside out there right now. I can see them from my office because I look down on the fields. And, you know, I'm looking down on these pampered pets, these dogs who have Christmas trees at home and presents under the trees and loving families, and they would give their lives for their families. They sometimes do. Some of my customers have done some amazing things for their families. But these dogs are so loved here. And yet in some parts of the world, they're not loved at all. Misunderstood or mistreated or just even eaten. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. It's a little bit unusual for my show, but it's important we know and don't inadvertently support things we're against. So I want to bring on today Robert Masseri, and he's from Guardians of Rescue. He's the president. Welcome to the show, Robert.
Thank you for having me.
Good. I'm glad to have you. It's a tough topic to deal with. I understand that you've got something happening in December, a big rescue plan. Can you tell us about that to start with?
Well, we have members on the ground right now in Korea as we speak. They just actually went to sleep about 4 o'clock in the morning there. They've been out all day at the markets, at the farms, and we are rescuing some dogs that are destined to be slaughtered and put on a plate. And our goal, our long-term goal, is, of course, awareness. But our immediate goal this week is to rescue some dogs and assess the situation that's taking place in Busan and in Seoul.
Okay, you sound like, well, to me, you sound New York City. You don't sound Korean. How did you even get over there? What drew you over there?
Well, I'm here in the States.
Okay.
I have members on the ground in Korea. It's something that we have been looking at for quite some time. Most people, even in the animal world, just can't stomach to look at videos and the pictures. And so there's not enough people out there that are actually advocating and trying to make change. There are some great groups that have been working to stop this. Or at least to educate people, but more is needed. And it's a horrific type of abuse where we take a dog that, of course, here in the States, they're pets to us. In several parts of the world, 11 countries are big on dog slaughter and food and consumption. And what most people don't realize, it's not about the poor. This in most cases, dog meat is twice as much as chicken.
And oh, really? I didn't know that. You know what? That's something I assumed. I've been thinking this whole time, well, what do the poor people eat if they can't eat dog? Because as much as I don't want them eating dogs, I also realize I come from a very Western privileged country, and we have lots of, you know, chicken and other sources of protein. So what do you, but you're saying dog meat in Korea is double the price of alternatives like turkey or chicken or duck or pork. Is that what you're saying?
It's more expensive. And the reason why the people who consume dog meat, it goes back for many, many years, thousands. But there were times when people ate dogs in the 50s in certain parts of Vietnam because they were starved, including Korea. But no, now it's a delicacy. Majority of the people consume dog meat are men. They believe it makes them stronger. They believe that the certain parts of the dog will make them have more stamina.
Are you kidding me? So this is about virility? This is about, like, machismo and virility and sex? Is that what this is about? They're eating dogs to be...
Big part of it. big part.
Oh man.
Yeah. So
what a waste.
You know, the worst part, the cruel part of all this is that there's a tremendous underground industry of stealing dogs in Korea, and people are well aware of it. They will steal a dog. A red dog, what we know is a lab or a retriever, is much more money, much more desirable, but they will steal a dog out of someone's yard, out of a car, and sell it to a market. That dog will be slaughtered within 45 minutes. And, you know, nobody wants
to hear. Oh, my God. We only have 2 minutes left in this segment, but we're definitely going to go into the next one and the one after that. I want to find out why a red dog is more valuable, or a retriever-type dog. Maybe because they're easier to handle. Are they going for the sweetest dogs, or is it something to do with the tenderness of the meat? How do I even talk like that?
They believe that the meat is more tender and tastier in a red dog than in a black dog. They like young dogs. They don't like old dogs. And it's something that there's no truth in it, of course. This is just something that we need to educate, and that's why we're doing what we're doing now. We're educating. We're going to start educating the younger Koreans who are not looking to eat dog meat. We have a campaign called Rail Man, Don't Eat Dogs.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, so we're going to come back after the break and talk about Real Men Don't Eat Dog. I remember Real Men Don't Eat Quiche, and then Real Men Do Eat Quiche, and then Real Men Make Quiche, and all that. I remember all those funny titles.
I do,
Real
too.
Men Don't Eat Dog, right on. Okay, so stay tuned, and we'll be talking more about this, because the thing I don't like is that I might buy something here and inadvertently have dog in it. And I thought about that a lot, because I like, you know, jackets with fake fur trim, and it'll say fake fur, faux fur. Is it really? So let's come back and talk about that on Smart Animal Talk, Alpaz Pet Talk Radio. We're talking with Guardians of Rescue, and we're talking with Robert Masseri, who's doing a mission right now. They're about to go save a whole bunch of dogs in December and give them a happy Christmas. So stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk, Alpaz Pet Talk Radio.
And anytime you're near.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat treated to help retain all the natural rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by Alpaz Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
To Smart Animal Talk, Alpaz Pet Talk Radio, and this is Deb Wolf, and I'm calling from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, Camp Good Dog, where the dogs are pampered and they come with little Ziploc bags with little notes about when they should get their bone on Christmas Day and Christmas Eve from their owner. And we take pictures and we show them on Facebook so their owner can see how happy they are wearing their little reindeers and, you know, reindeer antlers and all this kind of stuff. It's the absolute opposite life. It's the opposite life of a dog who's raised or stolen. And I see from your information, we're talking about Guardians of Rescue. If you want to check it out, go to guardiansofrescue.org. And I see from your information that they're beaten. I don't understand why they're beaten. Is this to tenderize the meat? Is that what that's about?
It's exactly to tenderize.
Oh, my God. That's terrible.
They believe that if the blood, if they get the adrenaline going to the dog, the blood will tenderize the meat. And I had to stand witness to videos, and I forced myself to watch them because it's what's pushing me to do what I'm doing. And most people can't watch these videos. It's probably the most horrific animal abuse you could ever see.
Everything we know about nutrition and stress negates this. You should not stress out an animal and then eat it. You're flooding it with stress and chemicals, and you're going to eat that. So it's just not even right. But they've got this idea is really, really entrenched. How do you get rid of ideas that are, you said, 7,000 years old? How do you get rid of that?
We'll probably never stop people from eating dog meat in many parts of the world, but we can certainly reduce the numbers. We can work on educating on how to treat certain animals. But the biggest concern we have is that it doesn't expand. It's a big market. There's probably 30,000 dogs a week that just are slaughtered for meat consumption just in Korea alone. And it's a big business. And we don't want it to grow. So our goal is to see that it doesn't grow and that the younger generation doesn't choose to walk into a restaurant and order dog meat. What's happening is the cities had so much pressure put on them that farms, they call them farms, but they're slaughterhouses.
Right. And
mind you, Korea is very cold. These animals are in cages with no roofs, and they're cramped into cages. They're forced to eat the byproducts of the dogs, the meat that they don't use. It's just horrible. But we want to educate, and we want to partner with the Koreans. Many Koreans don't want to have dog on their plate. They don't want to see this cruelty. It's an old school Korean myth. It's an old school Korean habit. But our goal is to truly educate them and partner with the Koreans, not go against them. We want to partner with them.
Is it being taken with, like, are there people emigrating from Korea to other places and bringing with them this appetite and trying to get it?
Absolutely.
So that's also happening. So is this a problem in New York City where you're from, where you're based?
Anywhere in the United States, you will find we've had cases that we've investigated where people actually, slaughtered the dog and they ate it. Again, it's a delicacy. It's something that they believe in. It's far from being hard. It's not about, can't afford food. So, yeah, we want to start educating that, proving that this is incorrect about the adrenaline, proving that the meat is not good for you. They feel it's the best meat you could possibly eat. And what's even more sad is that people, Westerners, are going to these parts of the world, and they actually say they want to try it, or they said they tried it.
I've heard famous people on TV say they've tried it. Even in a recent interview of a famous British comedian, and I was shocked to hear him kind of admit he has a taste for it, as if this was like funny. And I've heard certain people refer to Michael Vick also as if it should be forgotten, and it was an overreaction. And I still seethe over that one. I'm still not ready on that one. I'm not ever going to be ready on that one.
It's an overreaction from a person who has just no heart. You just can't say this is an overreaction. Certainly with Michael Vick. But in areas where they're slaughtering these dogs, they're stealing them, and leaving them I encourage people to go online, just Google videos and Google photos and just see what's really happening. And for so many years, especially here in the United States, we were so quick, if someone put it in our face, we were so quick to turn away from it. And that caused this industry to increase because we didn't want to hear about it. We wanted to throw our heads in the sand and say, it can't happen. It's just the poor people. No, it's not. It's not. And we're on a mission to really let the Western part of this world to know what's going on, and let's do something about it. And our slogan is, are you ready to fight? Because we are. And again, we're not going against all Koreans, because not all Koreans eat dog meat, and not all Koreans are for this. They don't accept it. They don't want it they don't want it in their community. They don't want to be known for it. But there's too big of a population that it's exactly right. And so we're out there trying to figure out ways to educate them by large and get a great campaign going in Korea, right on the ground, not from here, but right on the ground in Korea.
Well, okay, so on December 18th, what's going on then? That's just days from now.
We will be bringing back dogs that came out of these farms. They'll be here in the United States, of course. They'll be put up for adoption. And we're going to show people that this is just a regular dog like you would find in someone's home. These are just, they're going to roll over for you. They're going to give you a paw. These are great dogs. These are not wild dogs that they're killing there. These are people's pets. People actually surrender these dogs. Some of these people surrender these dogs to these farms. But these are dogs that we grew up with.
Well, I don't understand. Someone surrenders the dog to the farm not realizing it's going to be eaten by someone else, or they do it for the money?
No, they do it for the money. They do it for the money.
I see. So they raise the dog and they just send it. Wow.
Yeah, no, they may be moving away. They can't take the dog anymore. They don't want the dog anymore. We see it here. People bring the dog into a shelter. You know,
that's
over
true.
There, they know that dog is going to be slaughtered for meat. It's sick. It's beyond sick. And something has to be done about this.
Stay tuned, everybody. Too. We're going to continue talking after the next break to Guardians of Rescue. We're going to talk about what you can do to help, because it's not as helpless as you think. They're going to be rescuing a whole lot of dogs December 18th. And you can see these dogs. So stay tuned. We're going to talk about that next on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
I'm your doggy,
I'm your doggy,
and I love you,
and
you know that
I really
do.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit biketoeleash.com. That's biketoeleash.com. Bike toe leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is biketoeleash.com.
Hello. You're listening to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and I know I said I would give you holiday tips for keeping your animals safe. We touched on it last week, though, so you can hit on our show from 2 weeks ago, Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or let's see how else. Oh, you can go to DeborahWolfOnline.com. I've always got it there. Coming up soon, I'm going to be sending out on my new website relaunch about 8 things you probably don't know about pets that will blow your mind. So I'm going to put that up there. But right now, we're trying to do something good, save a bunch of dogs who will be eaten, seriously eaten, and instead get them to the United States, get them to JFK, get them into American Homes for Christmas to be pets. And that's unbelievable. So it's happening December 18th. How can people check this out?
Well, they could follow our Facebook page, which is Guardians of Rescue.
Okay.
We are a all-volunteer organization. And
how many dogs
support.
Are you thinking? How many are you going to? Are you going to grab 10, 20? What? How many? 100?
Four are going to come back on the plane because that's all we can take back.
Okay.
And the remainders will be picked up in January. They'll be at a foster. They'll be at a vet, and then they'll be going into foster, and they'll stay there until we can go back and bring them back to the States. But we're going to look to bring us, we're going to keep this going. And our main goal is not about just rescuing the dog because the numbers are so significant. But if we save one, it's certainly worth it. But this time we're bringing 4 back immediately on the 18th.
Okay, so those 4, can you tell me anything about them? Do you know who they are already?
No, we don't. We don't.
So there's going to be four dogs. Do you have four homes lined up, or you don't have that either?
No, we what we'll do is we'll they'll go in two foster. Of course, they'll be vetted first, and then they'll be placed in foster care, and then we'll start taking applications and see who the ideal family would be.
Well, you know what? I want to help you. So your foster homes, your four foster homes, they may be in for a little bit of effort, a little bit of work, some challenges. So if they want to, at any time, any of those four foster people, we can set up a Skype interview, and they can show me the problem, and I'm totally happy to do it for free. I'll help them, because they're going to have a dog who might not know stairs, might not know mirrors, might not know doors, doorbells, might be scared of feet. I mean, it might be hand shy, might be head shy. We don't know yet. But whatever it is, I'm happy to help them, because these people deserve some help. It sounds like you've got some pretty amazing people working with you.
And we have our work cut out for us. I mean, it's going to be a long haul. It's going to be a tough fight. But if we just do what most people normally do and turn off that computer screen when they see a video, then we feel these animals. And people like yourself that, you know, will help support us, it will save so many lives.
Well, you know, recently there was a huge news story about IKEA. Did you catch that one about the restaurants at IKEA? Did you catch that news? It just exploded. Because they were selling horse meat as if it was other meat. And Europe was not okay with that. Even though some people do buy horse meat in Europe and do eat horse, most people don't, and most people don't want to. And most people want to know that if it's labeled beef, it's actually beef. If it's labeled pork, it's actually pork. And so, you know, there was a huge outcry about the horse. I think we're very much attached to our dogs, maybe more attached than people are to the horse nowadays. So we should be reacting, right?
We need to react, and, you know, we don't let it happen in the States. We fight hard. Our horses are American icons, but we see they leave this country every day. They go into Mexico, and they go into Canada, get slaughtered. I encourage everybody to, you know, just educate yourself. See what's really going on. If you have a heart, do something about it. You know, even if you can't physically get involved, you know, sign a petition, write a letter, make a donation.
Go on the website. Check out your website. And also, when you were talking about inadvertently getting it, like if I buy a jacket and it's made in South Korea and it's got fake fur, I probably should buy something else, right? Because that's probably a dog, isn't it?
There's no question that fox fur, as of most Asian areas, is raccoon and dog and cat. They slaughter. There's farms in other parts, excluding China, that slaughter dogs strictly for the first commodity is the coat, and then they package the meat and they ship the meat out. But they're a fur factory, and like you said, these little collars that are on there that say fake. No, that likely there's a good chance that they came off a dog, and people need to educate themselves.
When I was interviewing Adrian Nelson from Friends of the Fur Bearers, he made that point. He was saying it's so much cheaper than the artificial stuff, so just don't even buy it. But, you know, I've noticed with my dogs, there's certain, you know, blankets or certain things of mine that I will not leave around them, because I can tell they are too interested, you know? They're going to chew the corner of that jacket. I just know it, right? And there's a reason. If your dog is annoyingly interested in an object that's a faux fur, it's probably not a faux fur, right? I mean, your dog knows.
That is so true. That is so true. And I've witnessed that several times with dogs. So
just won't leave it. An otherwise well-behaved dog just won't leave it. And he's alarmed. He's looking at you like there's a problem. Well, of course there's a problem. You know, you're wearing one of his cousins. There's a problem. And he's trying to tell you. Sometimes our dogs know before we do. So, okay, so let's go over the information again. How can people help you out? At guardiansofrescue.org, what do you need the most?
Right now, we need donations. Like I said, we're an all-volunteer organization. We are not funded for this. So we are, you know, scraping like any other organization. But we need donations. We can't do it without donations. And that's the first thing that we really need to continue this program. And they can visit us at guardiansofrescue.org. They can go to our Facebook page at Guardians of Rescue. Please like the page. They can see some posts, some recent photos that were taken yesterday. We haven't posted any graphic photos, but we posted several dogs that are in these medieval metal cages. And there's a puppy that is clearly in that cage that, you know, puppies are also a delicacy. Different types of people like puppies more than they like an adult dog. It's crazy. It's insane. It's insane. And again, it's what's scary is most people, this is going on forever. Most people have no idea.
Right now, we have a shutdown in our area of four gigantic poultry farms. There's an avian flu epidemic. Our chicken, our poultry, our turkey is being banned from all kinds of countries and places. And you know, they talk about barns where there's 100,000 hens. And I just shake my head. There's no protocol that can prevent disease in that kind of situation. This is just wrongheadedness. And locating farms like that all near each other, I mean, it's just craziness. Even when we talk about something that maybe you could argue ought to be eaten, there has to be a better way to do it. So we've got to get on the ball with this, or we're going to have all kinds of things in our diet that shouldn't be, and all kinds of atrocities against animals. So everybody, we are running out of time. Go to guardiansofrescue.org or check them out on Facebook. Thank you for coming today, Robert.
Deborah, thank you for having me.
Oh, it's been great. And good luck. I hope you'll touch base with me right after. I'd love to come on again. And maybe I can talk with any of the foster homes. If anybody's having a problem, they can call in the show and we can Skype with them as well and help them with their problem. Because I think they're going to have some training problems for a little while.
There's no question that they're going to, you know, have some issues with the dogs. We would love to Skype with you and show everybody what the dogs look like and how they're acting and settling into their new freedom.
Yeah, and maybe their first sight of snow, their first, there's going to be a lot of firsts for these dogs. Their first doggy bed, their first collar, leash, walk, their first family, their first hug. It's going to be a big deal. It's going to be beautiful. So thank you so much for coming to share that with us today, Robert.
Thank you, Deborah.
Okay. All right, everybody, it's Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk. It's me, Deb Wolf, and I'm gonna leave you for the week. I'm going to go play with my dogs in the rainforest, as usual. We did have snow, but it's gone. The rain has cleared it out. And we'll check in with me at DeborahWolfOnline.com. In the new year, it's going to be completely relaunched. And I'll post some holiday tips, but there's lots of holiday tips up there, like anchor your Christmas tree. Don't use chemicals in it. Don't wrap anything edible or hide anything edible. Your dog will find it. Instead, secure those things in the trunk of your car or way, way, way out of reach of the dog. If the cat finds the Christmas tree irresistible, either lock up the tree or lock up the cat. Okay, everybody, no candles, like Dusty said, and watch out for the chocolate. Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. This has been Deb Wolf, and thank you. Be good to your animals.
And anytime you're near.